We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Now, with a look at the weekend agricultural weather forecast, is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kiesler. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And there's just so much to talk about. It's almost hard to determine where to begin. But I think we will begin with the rain that has fallen and continues to fall. And still at this hour, there are flood watches, flood warnings, flood advisories of all kinds. And that includes, in some cases, flash flood watches or warnings for a large, large portion of the lower Midwest and into the eastern Great Plains and the western Delta. Right now, the following places have some sort of flood watch or warning in effect, and that would be most of central into southern Ohio, central into southern Indiana, central into southern Illinois, central into southern Missouri, southeastern Kansas, eastern Oklahoma, northeastern into north central and central Texas. We also have much of northern and western Arkansas, western and northern Kentucky, western Tennessee, portions of northern Mississippi and northern Alabama and central Mississippi, all under that. There's also a tornado watch in effect for parts of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. So large swath with some rain problems. There are flash flood warnings out for about as many counties as I've ever seen at one time for flash flood warnings. Virtually all of northern into western Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma and southwestern, south central into portions of central Missouri under flash flood warnings. A little area around Memphis, Tennessee, extending into Tennessee and southwest Tennessee and northwest Mississippi under a flash flood warning. There are several counties in southern Indiana under a flash flood warning right now. So that is the first problem we're dealing with, all the heavy rain. Needless to say, those areas I've just mentioned, which includes the southern portions of the Corn Belt, generally along and south of I-72 in Missouri or in Illinois, the southern two-thirds of Missouri, basically the southern two-thirds of Illinois, much of Indiana except the far north and much of Ohio, fields are going to be inaccessible for several days because of this. So harvest operations will not continue. And the highest rainfall I could find, there was one place in Christian County, Missouri, where over 10 inches of rain fell during the last 24 hours. In our neck of the woods here at WILL, we've picked up a little over 2 inches of rain since it all began yesterday morning. And in general, along I-70, the average is about 3 inches of rain from St. Louis over toward Terre Haute, Indiana. A little lesser amount so far around Indianapolis just because the rain got in later, but it's still raining there. The rain will continue today in the southern parts of the Midwest before tapering off tomorrow. So we'll be adding to those totals with the heaviest rains in the Ohio Valley today. So some amounts down there will exceed 4 inches. So that's the first issue. The second issue is frost and freeze, and it does look like the growing season will end where it hasn't already across all of Iowa, northwestern Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska. Much of Nebraska will probably have a freeze tonight. So a lot of places are going to get into that freeze zone tonight or tomorrow night. Much of northern and western Kansas as well will freeze. And scattered frost will be possible over the rest of northern Illinois into central Illinois as we go through the weekend. Also, northern into central Indiana, Michigan, and northwest Ohio. We'll see temperatures probably staying above freezing, but barely, so scattered frost will occur. But I think for northwest Illinois, on northwestward, the growing season absolutely over after this weekend. It does look like we'll have another weak system with precipitation moving across the upper Midwest Sunday into Monday. Not much precipitation with that, but the models are indicating a chance to heavier rains occurring next week, the latter part of next week. And after that, it doesn't look like it's going to get drier or warmer anytime quick. So at this point, the outlook for the rest of October is for not good conditions for harvest across the Midwest Corn Belt. And that's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kiesler.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 488, down 1 3/4 last trade, down 1. CME wheat opened at 473.25, down 3/4, last trade down 4. December corn, 363, down 1, last trade up 1. November beans, 933.25, down 2 3/4, last trade down 4.5. October soybean meal, $300.40, down 230, last trade down 130. December soybean oil opened at 34.40, down 17, last trade down 20. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave.
What was the most significant number in your mindset off this morning's reports?
Well, I guess, one of the things that we were all concerned about was whether if they dropped corn acres, if they increased bean acres, which they didn't do. They decreased bean acres by 200 million. I think the carryout number on beans, you know, compared to the average guess was a good thing. And in general, I think corn performed well, just from the standpoint that they increased feed usage again. And, the exports, even though they dropped exports, we still were only, we only increased the carryout number by 37 million, just only 4 million higher than the average guess. So to me, that stands out, in a big way. It even though, I guess what it proves is that even though they raised the yield to 164.2, which you would expect after you take away 600 million acres, you'd have a better yield. It didn't significantly change the carryout number on the market.
So what does that mean for how corn trades today and then the next 30 days?
Well, I think when you look at the overall picture, I don't even know if I want to call this one a five-minute report, Dave, because with only 10% of the crop harvested, a tremendous amount of rain this last week, I'm not sure the trade's going to have a tremendous amount of confidence in these numbers, especially in that particular yield number. And so I think when you look at the overall picture, I think what it means is we probably are going to trade, again, guided more by the outside markets than anything else. And when you look at the outside markets today, you know, the dollar's up. Crude was down, but it's up again. And so I think that's going to be our guideline more than anything else.
Is the beans report supposed to be looked at as friendly?
Well, I'll tell you what. The bean report is a tough one because of the fact that they did increase the world carryout number. So I think at the U.S. level, it's certainly friendly. I would call it perhaps supportive just because of the fact that we didn't come in with as high a carryout here. But in general, there's got to be a concern because of the fact that they've increased production at the world side of things.
And I suppose wheat would be bearish. Can we agree on that?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, we can agree on that. And yet when you the wheat market right now, as far as I'm concerned, is going to be driven much more by the action on the U.S. dollar and whether or not it becomes more and more competitive with other sources of wheat and makes us a more attractive place for them to import wheat from. We saw that in yesterday's export sales. You know, we had tremendous export sales on wheat, and I think that is a good reflection of the fact that we're in a very, we went down and tested the lows yesterday on the dollar, the support level that we would expect that should hold, and if it doesn't, you know, we'll go even lower. So we saw some pretty aggressive buying at that level.
What about the calls then today?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is probably one of the toughest ones because everything will depend entirely, I think, on what the outside markets are doing. I'm going to call, based on outside markets right now, I'm going to call corn down 2 to steady. I'm going to call beans up 2 to 3, wheat down 4 to 6, cattle firm based on the overnights, and hogs very mixed.
Thank you much, Jackie.
Thank you. Take care.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana, and we're on the web 24/7 at WILLAG.org.
BBC News with David Austin. The Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to the American President Barack Obama. The Norwegian-based Nobel Committee said that only very rarely had anyone given people such hope for a better future. Paul Adams reports from Washington.
The Nobel Committee praised Barack Obama for what it called his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. But there's no getting around the fact that to many this feels premature. The president's efforts are undoubted, the results rather less certain. The announcement in Oslo was greeted with gasps, and the reaction in Washington is broadly similar. Even the White House seemed taken aback. Mr. Obama was woken by his press secretary just before 6 in the morning. A spokesman said he was humbled.
International reaction to the award has been mainly favorable. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, said it was an incentive to the president to do more for peace. In South Africa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu said the award showed that great things were expected of Mr. Obama. The Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, expressed appreciation of Mr. Obama's creation of friendly international relations. And an aide to Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, said the award should prompt Mr. Obama to work towards ending injustice. Officials in the Pakistani city of Peshawar say nearly 50 people have been killed and many more injured in a huge car bomb blast. Police said the bomb was designed to cause maximum casualties. Aleem Maqbool reports from Islamabad.
It is the deadliest attack in Pakistan for months. Police say a car bomb went off beside the crowded Khyber Bazaar in the centre of Peshawar. School children on their way home are among the dead. A bus filled with passengers was also close to the explosion. Emergency workers have described horrific scenes in what had been one of the city's main shopping areas at the busiest time of day. Officials are blaming the Taliban. The militant group had been threatening suicide bombings unless Pakistan's army operations against it were stopped. But in recent days, there's been much speculation that far from stopping, the army's offensive is soon to be intensified.
The detained Burmese opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi has met diplomats from the United States, Britain and Australia at a government guest house in Rangoon. The British ambassador to Burma, Andrew Hine, told the BBC that the pro-democracy leader seemed in good health.
She was in remarkable form for somebody who's been through what she has been through. She was very, very engaged in the subject, very interested in going into the detail of what she wanted to talk about, and she seemed, as ever, very eloquent and very, very engaged.
Andrew Hine. Mr. Hine said Aung San Suu Kyi had wanted to know more about the international sanctions against Burma and that she'd not yet decided whether to support lifting the sanctions.